don't combine like internet browsing and like slacking and texting and like doing all the things you can do with trying to do real work. It just doesn't exist. And people that are going to move forward now and have an advantage are people that can focus. Because why? Because our world today is more distracted than ever. And most people are just a product of the billion-dollar tech companies. All right, so we have someone on. So Spence is on. That's great. Hey Spence. Sweet. We're going to do a Q&A. We'll see how it goes. Probably after 20 or 30 minutes, depending on if more people trickle in, give them a chance. But the format, Armando, I'm going to be the moderator. Okay?
Okay.
You can offer color commentary if you want here and there. Ask good questions, right?
Okay.
And we're going to review. I mean, you saw the format. We're going to review a big idea today. Then we're going to just do a Q&A, and whatever comes up, we'll chat about. So that's going to be cool and interactive. And, you know, this is the first show, so it's an experiment. We're going to learn. We're going to do it every week. I'm looking forward to having it be something that will grow. You know, people want to look forward to.
Yeah.
So let's get you set up first, since I'm actually recording you and me. And then I'll probably do share my screen. Let's see. Well, let's just start with you and me first. So give a quick intro. And I got a couple questions that we will both answer. So I'll share the screen after that. So for now, just intro yourself and tell me, you know, what have you been up to the past week or two?
Awesome. Yeah, my name is Armando Rivera. I'm a stand-up comedian based in Los Angeles. I've just been working every day as much as possible, creating as much content as I possibly can, and just learning.
Just learning? So you've been...
Yeah.
Give me an example. How have you been learning?
So right now I've been inside of the Adobe Creative Suite, been playing around with a lot of things in there. They've expanded it since the last time I've used it, which was like 2015, 2016. Mm-hmm. And so I'm just trying to get more familiar with everything they've added and seeing how it fits with how I create content and try to pick up a workflow.
Well, what content are you trying to create? Because I mean, Adobe Creative Suite, like, you could be an animator for movies and that's all you do. You could be an editor and that's all you do. You could be a graphic designer. There's kind of like different...
There's different modalities within that. Right. Exactly. But I'm basically in the stage of looking at kind of like UX design. I'm playing around with the UX design aspect, but it's mainly been Adobe Audition.
Yeah. So audio podcasting.
Yeah, exactly. I'm taking an audio mixing course right now. Mm-hmm. And so I've been learning how to like professionally sound mix, because sound mixing, I was recording my podcast out of GarageBand, and it wasn't necessarily like, you know, it's great. I love it. It's fantastic. And it's super simple and it comes out really good. It's easy to cut things, but I want to kind of take it to the next level up, you know?
Right. So that's my advice. Pick one thing and get good at it.
Yeah.
Right. Don't try to learn audio. And hey, Sherry, welcome. Nice background. So I'm going to try to like re-intro every time someone comes in, give them an idea of what we're doing. We're doing a live podcast. Awesome. Okay. It's going to be posted later. If anybody wants to share something later on, ask a question, it can be done via chat, or you could go on video, or you could do audio, like whatever way you want. And then we'll talk about it. You know, I'm going to moderate for most of the show, just to kind of have some structure. This is Armando's good friend of mine, and he's just going to, you know, be here to be kind of my co-host. And we're going to talk about one big idea today. That's going to be kind of the intro. You and I will talk about it a little bit. And then if anybody has any questions at the end of that, that will be like the segue into the Q&A. And then, you know, if whatever anybody wants to talk about, any ideas or topics that come up, if we have time, we will go there. And I have some other things that we can do if we, you know, run out of topics, but I don't think that's actually going to be a problem. But let's start with, in fact, since we only have four people here, we might as well do something fun. Let's start with one thing you improved this week, and we'll each go. Sherry and Spence, if you want to just drop that in chat, you know, we can go first so you can get an idea. Just drop it in chat. One thing you improved this week. Armando, why don't you go first?
This week, I've gotten up earlier. I've gotten up around.
When did you get up before?
So before it was kind of all over the place because I was having trouble sleeping and you know, everyone working from home and stuff like that. It's fun to,
you have to manage yourself.
Yeah. 100%. And not very many people are used to doing that. So I've been redoing that. I was waking up around 10, 11, sometimes around 11, 30, 12, depending on the night that I had, mm-hmm. trying to like catch up from it on everything. Mm-hmm. Now I'm up to 7, 8, trying to get a little earlier, but back to 7, 8 o'clock.
Well, when you do that, you'll train your body so that every night your body will start getting tired around the same time. And the one, you know, sleep hack for this is make sure you're not on devices a couple hours before bed. Use Night Shift, use F.Lux app, things like that. You don't want to be on a screen. You don't want that blue light. And you also don't want a lot of light in your environment because it wakes your biology up to think that the sun is out.
Yeah.
Hunter gatherers did not sleep when the sun was out like that. You get eaten doing that. Like, and so you're kind of getting used to winding down. Your biology comes down, your circadian rhythm in that. Right. So definitely reduce light exposure at night. Like, just low light. I actually have these orange bulbs that I use all the time. I try to get rid of all blue light in my environment. Yeah. So Spence said I'm improving on my time management. It's everything. You know, what's funny about time management is like, if you think about it, that's life management, right? Yeah. Like your life is just the time you spend. That's all it is, right? Like you never have more than this moment. And all you have is a bunch of moments. And that's the most scarce resource that we all have. Right? Everyone thinks like money is scarce or this and that or opportunity. No, your time is scarce, nothing else. Sherry said she's clearing up clutter. So I know exactly what you're talking about because I just moved. I'm in my new room actually, and there's like boxes everywhere. It's crazy. I've moved like 8 times in the past 5 years. And every time I feel like I throw away a quarter of my stuff, but I still have a bunch of stuff. So it's like the law of math, I should have nothing left, but I still have way too much stuff left. Right? So clearing up clutter, I feel like is also just for the mind. I mean, for me, it's just such a mental thing. It saves time. It saves energy. You don't have to see it. It doesn't take, it has kind of a mental weight, your stuff, right? And I think also getting out of the habit of accumulating stuff will save everyone time and money and not go into debt, et cetera. So welcome, Kendra. Thanks for coming on. I'll do a quick intro. We're going to do Q&A in about 30 minutes. Everyone's welcome to share, to go on the mic if they want, or just type or whatever. Right now, we're just kind of have the chat. I'm monitoring the chat. And so if anything comes up specific you want us to talk about or come on, we're going to cover one big idea though. We're going to have probably a 10-minute segment. And then, it's the first one we've done. So we're experimenting. We're going to get a lot of data from this and get a good format. Sherry and Spence just shared something they improved this week. You can see that in the chat. Time management, clearing up clutter. Both of these actually, if you look at them, there's a theme of simplicity there, you know? And if you think about our modern environment full of complexity, full of stuff, full of this, that, you know, we need to get back to simplicity. And that's actually been a big theme in my life for 2021 is focus, simplicity, and living what I call a deep life. So this deep life is this idea that you have a few things. I mean, literally at the end of your life, there's only a few things you're going to care about. You're going to care about community, your people. You're going to care about purpose and work you did and whether it made a difference, right? And you're going to remember experiences and hardships, actually. It's funny how your hardships are actually things you end up remembering and almost appreciating for making you better, you know? But it's like, you're not going to think about that crap you had that you bought in 2021 or like, you know, or that big house of stuff you have. You just literally won't care. But the problem is in the moment now, we think we care more. Our biology drives us to want to accumulate things and acquire resources, right? It's a survival mechanism. We think the more stuff we have, the safer we are, et cetera. So it's just something we got to think long-term, you know, and not accumulate stuff. So we got a goal from Sherry. My goal is to get rid of toxic people by July 1st. July 1st, that's a funny date to pick.
I love it.
That's good though. I have no time for them, but I do empathize for people that haven't been cognizant of it. If you have strong routines and you have coworkers, family, whatever, like, I mean, mitigating people in your environment is the hardest thing people have to do ever, right? Maybe you can offer some commentary on that, Armando, because you dealt with in your stand-up comic career where you had some, you know, kind of some negative minded, like struggling artist syndrome that you didn't really want to get pulled into, you know, like tell us about that real quick.
Yeah, no, 100%. Stand-up comedy, especially when you're starting out, specifically in that beginning stages when you're going out to open mics and stuff like that, you're around a lot of people. It's like a misery loves company situation it's just a lot of people. Exactly. It's people who, you know, when you're in an artistic medium or a creative medium, a lot of people think that to get the best work or the funniest joke or, you know, write a good script for a movie, what have you, they have to be suffering. There has to be some sort of terrible thing going on in their life, or they had to have this terrible thing that's happened to them before. And, you know, sometimes, you know, you could find beauty in those things and they do, you know, they do help in a sense, you know, where you can draw from them. But there, I was around people that were looking for that. I was around people that were living life to then have like material for the stage. Like, oh, I'm going to, every situation, everything I do is going to be based on whether it works on stage for me, or whether right. I do this terrible risky thing, or I have a horrible sleep pattern, or I eat really badly, or, you yeah, know,
that's not the right, I think they're confusing what they're trying to do. Yeah, if you think about it, if you're trying to like learn from struggle in life, I mean, what you're trying to do is grow out of struggle.
Exactly. Like,
and that, you know, so you shouldn't be looking for struggle and then misery, because then, I mean, are you going to be successful in your career? Like, it's almost like at odds. It's like, you want to just be not successful forever, because then you feel like you'll be funny, but then you're never going to be successful in your career. So you can't really have both at the same time, right? You can't like aim to be a loser and then win at comedy, you know? Like,
exactly.
But every struggle, because you're going out of it and through it, there's comedy and there's lessons. And like, that's the whole point. It's like, you're trying to get better at it, not just suffer for the point of suffering.
Exactly. And that's exactly what, you know, it's so funny how it's counterintuitive. It's like, I know the reason I've seen any success was because even in my struggle, I've strived to be healthier mentally, be healthier physically, make sure that I'm putting, you know, if you're not, you can't put out your best work. You just can't.
Right.
And so when I've been my healthiest is when I've been my sharpest mentally, because it's a big mental game coming up with material and being on stage and entertaining.
But so
people.
Is life. So is 100%. So is overcoming struggle. That's what it is. Iron sharpens iron, right? Yep. Like, you don't get better through softness. You get better through hardship. Right. So, okay. That was one thing we improved this week. It's good, because I want to kind of go in order. I want to have a little bit of format. I want to learn from this and try a bunch of different things. And then obviously we'll take feedback from everyone listening and the future listeners that will watch or listen to this, or watch it, I guess. I'll put it on YouTube too. We'll be able to watch it or listen to this on iTunes or podcasts or any of those other places. So awesome. That was one thing we improved this week. Let's do one thing kind of specific. Oh, I didn't go. One thing I improved this week. I'll give you something I'm improving / struggling with, and maybe everyone can kind of empathize with this. So I read a really good book recently. It's I Am Enough by Melissa Peers. Amazing. Like, I could not believe it. And like, I'm going to probably dive into all of her work, and I've never really heard about her, and somebody recommended it. And I read it within 2 days, as I like to do. And it's been amazing. So she says that a good technique, if you find yourself kind of jumping to anger or negativity, or, you know, like, we all have that emotional reaction to life, right? Like, we have that inner person that kind of, you know, like, it becomes Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, or like the Hulk comes out, right? And so I'm trying to visualize that happening when I find myself welling up to anger or to negativity. And I'm not an angry person, but there's just certain things that I want to have better control over. So I have like pure stoic equanimity. Like, I just don't want to control to any or respond to anything in life unless I really decide to. Like, I want to have mastery of my mind, right? So that's a big focus for me in just life in general. And I still let certain things get to me, you know, and like, moving is obviously stressful. I feel like I didn't get that stressed this time, because I mean, but it's still a stressful thing. They say it's actually the most stressful thing you ever do. I totally believe that. So what she recommends in the book is, she says, name that inner person. Name them something. So the first thing that came to my mind was Chris, because when I was younger, I wanted to change my name to Chris, because I was like young and like Colin isn't a common name or whatever, right? And so I'm like, you know what? It's just what came to me. It's the first thing, right? You could like name it like Voldemort or something if you wanted to.
Yeah.
But now what I'm doing is, every time I feel that, like, if somebody cuts me off in traffic, or I find myself, you know, getting frustrated by the organization of the fridge, I'm like, Chris is coming out. He's trying to come out, you know, and I want to keep him in. I want to not let Hulk come out, you know, and I'm telling you, these simple mental kind of tricks can be very powerful. And when you become more aware of them, you do them more often, then they become like a real strategy that's like built into your psyche. And now you've separated a little bit from the reaction, like, you just respond to things, to now you control how you respond to things. And that's just like, that's huge, right? So that's something I've been doing, you know, just not letting those small stressors in life that they don't care. When I'm on my deathbed, I'm not going to care about them. Why am I wasting my time on them? Why am I wasting the most valuable, precious thing I have, which is my attention and my time, and actually even just my mental happiness? Like, why am I giving that to some external thing, right? So that's a really, really big thing for me and everything I'm now actually doing with Better Human School and everything. But That's for me. So that's something that I'm improving. I'm naming my inner Hulk, and I'm trying to keep him at bay, right? Yeah. And getting better at that. And that's my struggle and what I've been improving. So anything that anybody's been stuck with or struggled this week, if you want to drop it in the chat, we will. Okay, so Sherry shared. So last child grads high school, Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts band, strings turned 60, time to do for myself. So it sounds like you have a lot going on and you're trying to find time for yourself, if I'm reading that correctly. Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts. I was in Boy Scouts. Yeah, that's in, yeah, and Girl Scouts. Yeah, and band. Wow. So the last child graduates high school soon. That's what it looks like. That's, I mean, that's amazing. My sons are 2 and 6 months. I can't even fathom they're gonna be like driving cars and stuff. It's so crazy. Wow. 40 years of kids. That is incredible.
Goodness.
Yes.
That's amazing.
I mean, I gotta say that's a round of applause.
Yeah, seriously. My hat is off.
It's an accomplishment that doesn't get appreciated in our society as much. Like, that's legit an accomplishment.
Absolutely.
So I will say, oh, I just heard one crying. that's amazing. So stuck or struggling, Armando, because you improved your sleep. What's something you have been stuck or struggling with this week?
Focus. Staying focused, reducing distraction. You know, last year I had to cut down a lot of things as far as, you know, monetarily. We moved into a smaller place in the beginning of the year. So, and I'm married.
Because you can't do gigs, right? So it's cut into your income a lot, right?
Exactly. 100%. Yep. So,
and you're in LA, which is crazy town.
Yeah, it is. Absolutely. There's a lot of, I mean, even if you want to get into the whole, there's a lot of untreated mental illness here that people,
I know,
you
right? know, socially, really, socially acceptable mental illness, but we don't even need to talk about that. It's not worth the energy.
100%. So, you know, yeah, I've cut into my finances, essentially my income. So we moved into a smaller place. I'm married. I'm used to being able to have, as any couple has, I'm used to being able to have time away from my wife during the day and then reconvene, or, you know, we used to start every morning together and that was great. And I would go to work, or I'd go out to a coffee shop to write all day. And then I'd have a gig at night, and then I'd come home and we reconvene and talk about our day. So now it's come to where all day, every day inside together, my wife works from home. So, you know, and we have our dog.
I mean, do you work in the same room? Are you having trouble focusing because like somebody's always next to you that you can talk to?
100%. We're in a studio. So now
you don't have a room, like a door.
No, it's literally like I can see you, you know, and it's been, and I know it's been the same thing for her, because I'm not perfect. You know, I'm sure she looks at me and she's like, God, I just want to get this, you know, this media list done. And he's right there and he's watching Law and Order, you know.
Dude, that's why the universe invented headphones.
Yeah, 100% headphones. But then it's like, we're also, you know, when you talk about evolutionarily as creatures, when we see things, we're like, we're like squirrels.
It's a skill. You know? I'm telling you, focus is a skill for sure.
100%. Like, so that's been kind of my struggle, is crafting that focus aspect and making sure that I'm, when I sit down to do work, that it's focused. That is, you know, even if it's an hour, if it's 2 hours, if I can get three and then break it up, you know, that it's focused, and that it's, you know, because a little bit of focused work is.
What's that background noise?
It's my dog. She's losing it.
she needs to get her stuff together.
Literally, she picks the perfect time every time. Whenever I'm on a call, she's like, playtime now. But yeah, so it's just been trying to get the focus work down and making sure that when I sit down that I'm getting the most out of my time.
Yeah. So if the doggy keeps going, just mute when you're not talking.
Sure.
That'll say. I'll give you a couple tips for focus. I would try, if you're in the same room, don't face each other. Don't be in any way to which like you're in your vision, right?
Yeah.
And obviously headphones, some kind of background music or noise, like white noise even works for some people, or like rain. Right. And then I would try something like the Pomodoro technique, which is 25 minutes on and then you take a 5 minute break. That can work for some people. I prefer to just go, like, I've been working from coffee shops lately and it becomes kind of a white noise thing, but there can be distractions here and there. It just kind of depends on what I'm focused on. But yeah, I mean, in the house, that's tough. I mean, I always at least have my room. So I'll have to think on that a little bit more. but you're gonna have to test things. That's the biggest thing about productivity. And actually, Spence made a comment about trying to stay on task. She's in grad school. All her children have graduated. So again, congratulations to that as well. So I would recommend reading Deep Work by Cal Newport, all right? Or at least reading the book summary or reading an article about it. And that's paramount. I mean, if you could leave the house for a couple hours, Armando, and like find a place to do a session, that would be huge, you know? But I've told people for years, like if you can carve out 2 hours a day where you can be alone, undisturbed, undistracted. And here's the most important thing. You turn your notifications off and you turn your phone off, okay? I mean, like anybody that's trying to do real work, whether it's graduate work, whether it is creative work, writing, like if you have your phone on and you're checking and you're going back and forth, you are literally sapping your best and most creative self. Like you're basically closing the door to it. It's impossible. If you look at any of the research into the flow state and deep work and all the just neuroscience around all this. And like you said, focus is a skill. I mean, you can get to a point where you could focus anywhere, anytime, because you can, like, again, it's almost like meditation, right? The monk that lit himself on fire to protest the Vietnam War stood there or sat there as he's being burned alive. Like, that's just like, I mean, I've thought about that a lot. Like, that's incredible. And that is just purely control of the mind. And that's why the mind to me is so fascinating and why that I'm spending the second half of my life focused on it, right? But yeah, deep work is huge. A couple hours a day of focused work, then kind of do like shallow work later on. Like if you can do like phone calls and texts and small and like research, you know, but don't combine like internet browsing and like slacking and texting and like doing all the things you can do with trying to do real work. It just doesn't exist. And people that are going to move forward now and have an advantage are people that can focus. Because why? Because our world today is more distracted than ever. And most people are just a product of the billion-dollar tech companies. I mean, think about it. They spend billions in advertising, marketing, and product design, and they hire the smartest people in the world whose singular goal is to get you addicted to a screen to their product. Like, and you think you're just going to like overcome that because you have willpower? Like it doesn't happen. It's just like myself. My biology is if I want chocolate or anything and that sweet tooth comes on, even though I'm one of the strictest eaters I know, if it's in the house, I'll find it, right? So it either has to be hidden from me or it's got to be like a big enough thing where I don't want to drive to the store to get it, right? Like I have to have a big hurdle, right? So I just don't keep it in the house. So if you don't want to eat something, it can't be in the house. It's like very simple, you know, when you accept these things about who you are in your biology, and these are just human traits. It's not even like a person thing, right? When you accept them, you can build routines around them and really get to that next level. So Spence said she listened to audiobooks. I currently listen to More Than Enough. That's great. I would highly recommend Marissa Peer's book, I Am Enough, since, I mean, there you go, More Than Enough. It's great, all mindset focused, and deep work is huge for work. So let's get to the big idea. So I'm gonna probably share that. We're gonna share this. You can unmute as long as your dog's not acting crazy, Armando. So that it doesn't
feel- No, it's perfect. Okay. Yeah, no, you're good. No, and I just want to add to what you said, though. Yeah, Jordan Peterson, I was reading the 12 Rules of Life.
Yep.
And he said it's exactly what you're saying. You have to consciously make the decision, and people think it's tricking yourself, and it's not necessarily tricking, because when you trick yourself, then you create like this resentment in your mind where you're like, I am babysitting myself. You actually have to do exactly what you said. Make those conscious decisions. I'm going to put my phone aside. I'm going to sit down. I'm going to consciously sit and do this work and make sure I don't touch it. You don't have to put up fail safes. It's one of those where, okay, I'm not going to keep food in the house because I know that certain foods that's a vice for me. So I'll make sure that I don't go and do that.
Well, but here's the thing though. It's okay to trick yourself if it's the thing you ultimately want. Like if you're tricking yourself in the moment to not like eat In-N-Out Burger, which I drove by earlier and I was just like, I'm in a new city. My routine is kind of messed up. And I'm like, these little things were pecking at me. And I'm like, I'll just get In-N-Out. And I'm like, no, just drive by it. Drive right by it. And so if I can trick myself in those moments and I come back to my baseline is I'm not eating that crap. Absolutely. Right. So I'm always for doing anything to alter my environment or do whatever, because 30 minutes later when I've like, you know, tricked myself or whatever, restricted myself, I'm better. Like I'm glad.
Absolutely.
You know? So it's always that long-term versus short-term thing. But yeah, there's like, you know, when it comes to habits and I mean, oh man, that's a whole topic that we'll, but like the lesson today is very much in line with that. And so this is actually the slides for the first week of the Better Mind program. Okay. And this just launched recently. So we're in beta, basically, a lot of testing, tweaking. I have a group option, which we'll be doing a monthly call like this to review. And then I have a self-serve option. I'll be putting out tons of free content here and there. And actually, the weekly call is, you know, basically a glimpse into it every so often. So actually, I should have shared this with you ahead of time, Armando, but we'll do it next time. I had a funny thing I wanted to do to basically talk about how, like, who sponsors the show.
Okay.
But I don't know. That doesn't tell you much. we'll add your comedic flair to it next.
I'll work on it.
Yeah. So we're going to go through this for 10 minutes. And this, feel free to jump in, Armando, and add or ask in whatever way you want. And then we'll take Q&A. And so I don't actually see chat. Is there a way to see chat while you also have the video sharing? I got to figure out how to do this. There it is.
I could take a look at the chat if you want.
Yeah. And just keep an eye on the chat in case anybody hops in and they want me to pause and talk about something. We can do that.
Absolutely.
Okay. So we got, this is lesson one. And as I was building out the Better Mind program, which, I mean, in a nutshell, it's how to think based on first principles from the greatest ideas from humanity that have stood the test of time. Okay, so here's a way to think about this, because I know this is a little vague. So Amazon, everybody knows Amazon and Jeff Bezos, right? You know what they ask Amazon all the time? Reporters, you know, whatever, they're like, well, what's next? What do you predict? What's the future, right? Because Amazon's an innovative company and they spend billions on experiments all the time. And you wanna know what they say every time? They say, in fact, I should move my camera. I'm looking to the side. Okay, here we go. They say, we don't try to predict the future. We focus on the things that aren't gonna change. Okay. Now think about what Amazon has done. It used to be Prime was 2-day shipping. And if you spent $49, it was free, whatever I think it was, or maybe it was 4 days. Now it's gotten down to almost a day.
Yeah.
Right. Why? Because customers always want their stuff fast. That's something that doesn't change. That's the first principle. Customers always want huge selection. So Amazon is continually letting other sellers sell on their platform to basically have unlimited options. You can find anything that you possibly want. I've seen people buy mini homes on Amazon. Okay. Unlimited selection. That's the first, that's the first principle of customer desire, right? They're always going to want as much product option as possible. Okay. And then I forgot the third one, actually. I think it was service and really good service and customer support, right? And easy returns and things like that, right? So those three things, though, have been the entire focus of Amazon, even though they've done all these other massive things. They're always around that customer obsession of giving the customer the things that they always want and always going to want, and investing in infrastructure that allows them to do that. I mean, they own planes, cargo ships, warehouses. Mm-hmm. Amazon owns, I've forgot the number, but I think as many trucks as like FedEx or UPS or something. It's pretty crazy, actually. And that's just for their own business, you know? So the idea there, the analogy is, if we can take the first principles of how to think as a human, right? What did Socrates figure out? What did Aristotle figure out? What has Elon Musk figured out? Modern success. And then everybody along the way, some of the greatest artists, writers, authors of all time, right? When I was in college, the short period I was, nobody taught me how to think. They just told me things to memorize. Okay.
Absolutely.
And, you know, obviously philosophy class I never took. I really wish I would have. That probably would have changed my life, because philosophy is probably the closest thing to how to think and how to live that you can find, especially in a modern curriculum. But most of my philosophy research and learning was just on my own. I just kind of happened into it through stoicism, right? But for most people, there's no real frameworks for how to think and even how the mind works. We have a little bit of understanding of psychology, but that's more from the clinical sense in some ways, or the old models. And it also doesn't really tell you how to not fall into those traps yourselves unless you decide to become a psychologist, right? So there's just a lot lacking here. And the way I think about it in the world today, and we got another one hopped in, and I recognize her face. Who hopped in? Do you see, does it show the names? Because it doesn't show me.
Yeah, Brenda. How you doing, Brenda?
Hey, Brenda. Okay, good. So Brenda, real quick, if you have anything you want us to stop on or comment on or ask about, just drop it in the chat. We're kind of doing the chat right now. We'll do a live Q&A after this lesson. We're going to do a 10 to 15 minute lesson. We're going to go through it. My co-host Armando here is a good friend of mine. He's here to offer commentary and throw in his bits of young wisdom every so often. So back to my point, though, when I was trying to think about how I can help people And I've done the health thing for years. I've been giving people health advice for years. And one of the things that I got most frustrated with was it felt like people could they would take what I told them you should do and they just wouldn't do it. Or they might do it for a week or whatever, right? And that why is that? Like that core question, how can I get people to really take control over their life and their decisions and their habits and control their environment so that they can then actually get healthy, but at the same time, they'll be happy and they'll be fulfilled and they'll be successful and maybe they'll get out of debt, like whatever, right? Every single thing that the modern human wants, right? And actually experiences comes down to this. What is this, Armando? It's literally everything.
I think 100%. About
like when you've been really sad in your life, mm-hmm. Was somebody like poking you with a sad stick? Like, why were you sad? Right? Think about it. What caused you to be sad?
Yeah.
Your mind was making the decision. And like, obviously, you know, you're going to go through emotions. We're emotional creatures. This is not about being, you know, Buddha in the woods under a tree for 7 years meditating. Like this is about recognizing these things and getting a grasp of them so that we can build really good models and actually live a deep, fulfilling, meaningful life. And so for me, it just kept coming down to the mind. Like I could put out all the health content in the world, but if people aren't really taking action, I feel like I'm just wasting my breath. And also there's plenty of people putting out amazing information. I just kind of felt like I was done sharing and I've let other people do that. And I want to focus more on that big thing that, you know, is going to be the difference between success, happiness, you know, fitness for some, health, eating, whatever. And it always comes down to the mind. So that's why this is the core foundational lesson in the Better Human program. And so we see here, we got a quote. Why don't you read that for me, Armando?
Everything we hear is an opinion, not a fact. Everything we see is a perspective, not the truth. Marcus Aurelius.
What do you think about that?
I think it's 100% true. I think there's so many things that, it's all perspective. When someone
tells everything really is everything.
100%. 100%. Mm-hmm. It's like you go to that last line, and the last line of that quote reigns true for the beginning. It's anything anyone tells you from their point of view is what they see to be fact. You know, and of course we all agree there's scientific things. There's things that are, you know, laws of nature and what have you. But when it comes to things in your mind, when it comes to how people decide to feel about certain things, it's all based on their own perspective. And when you're in a relationship.
But what is your perspective? Your perspective and mine, mm-hmm. what's the difference?
Mm-hmm. Our experiences.
Our experiences. Is there anything else?
Our experiences. I'm a little lost on that.
Our knowledge.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You know,
our built up experience, our knowledge.
The things we're good at, the things we're not good at. Mm-hmm. Right. Like everything. So if there's 7 billion humans on the planet, what does that mean? There's 7 billion what?
Perspectives.
Experiences. I mean, think about that. Why do you think politics is so crazy? There's 7 billion perspectives, each one unique on its own. We already get that every human's unique, every fingerprint is unique. Right. Yep. But we have this idea that we should all somehow think the same way, or like, you know, we try to tribalistically push ourselves into groups of left versus right and this and that. And it's just like, it's impossible because it's impossible. Right.
Things are too nuanced for it to be so, you know, black and white. Everyone has, you may find someone that is the closest, the most similar to you, but there is something in their experience, in their life, or what have you, or skill set that is just a little different than you.
We're gonna get right back to the show. Give me 1 minute. I gotta plug the betterhuman.school, of course. I know I sound like a broken record, but like I said, this is what I'm doing. This is what I'm passionate about. And I know that we can make a huge mega difference in our lives individually and then those around us by leading through example. The reason we have a sick society and that only 10% of America is considered metabolically healthy is because monkey see, monkey do. There's a lot of history here. If you wanna look about the booming after World War II, what happened in America and the luxury goods and the consumerism that's just run rampant and how we've taken that to the next level with processed food and now pharmaceuticals and big corporate interests. It's no surprise that America is getting fatter and sicker every single year and more depressed. And now technology has been thrown in the mix to which people can be distracted on a daily, instant by instant basis. They can spend their years in a distracted, zombie-like, screen-addicted state. And what we need more than ever is a focus on the principal foundational concepts that drive human behavior, success, and happiness in a modern world. And that's what the Better Human program is all about. So head over to betterhuman.school to get started today. Founding 250 members, lifetime access, crazy amazing deal. Hope to see you in there. Let's get back to it. Well, think about this. So identical twins.
Right.
Why do they end up being different and thinking differently and pursuing different career paths, whatever? Unless they literally stay together. And so unless there are Siamese twins where you're connected, you would have different experiences, right? Because you go off and do this, they go off and do that. One day you're here, one day you're there. So,
but even Siamese twins, because
you're going to interpret the experiences.
100%. Yep. Exactly.
Different brain, right?
Different consciousness completely. Yes.
One person might see and hear that thing, and this head might be turned that way.
Absolutely.
Okay. Just to make sure we don't go over on time. This is a lot of slides. I'm not going to go through all of them. I'm going to pick through them, but let's just get to some of these other big ideas.
Okay.
So I'm not going to talk about that, but thoughts and energy are interchangeable. Einstein showed that. Basically, the more we get into things like string theory and quantum mechanics, it's everything what they're realizing is energy. Like this mic, I think it's a physical object. It's actually that I just broke is actually energy. It's just, combined together. I mean, humans are energy. We're a bunch of atoms that are held together through energy and thoughts. I'm doing a podcast. Okay. Movers are here. It's right here. Come in. So when you think something, it manifests to a physical action, right? I mean, think about it. Someone had to think about this mic before they can make it.
Right.
So that's just real quick. Just think about that. The idea of this lesson is to convey to you the importance of controlling what you think in your mind and how it works, right? The Buddhists, they call it monkey mind. Most people respond to their environment. Their mind's just going like this. It's thinking a mile a minute. It's stressed, it's anxious, it's this, it's that, or whatever. Right. And most people have little control over that. And so when they're happy, it's because everything in their environment is like perfect. And then the rest of the time, they're either like not like kind of irritated or they're straight up unhappy.
Yeah.
Because their environment isn't perfect because life isn't perfect. Right.
Yeah.
So the goal for me and what I'm doing with everything I'm doing for the rest of my life is to help people take control over their minds and then direct the way they think. Let's get this going to get what they want in life.
Yeah.
Right. Very simple. Okay. So thoughts are energy. Energy is interchangeable with mass. When you have a thought, think about that as a physical thing. And if you have a negative thought, that's going to manifest to a negative thing in reality in your environment, right? I'm trying to get you to think about your mind and your thoughts. Like, so the first step is kind of being aware of these things, being aware of the patterns and how things work. And then you will develop your own strategies for really taking control, whether you want to, study better and focus more, whether you want to lose weight, whether you want to do this, whatever, right? It's all going to come up down to this, okay? Mm-hmm. So here's a good one. Armando, who's responsible for your thoughts?
It's only you.
But what about somebody that like they stole from you? They robbed your house.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. It's an external factor.
Well, if somebody robs from you though, that's not fair. Uh-huh.
Yeah, it isn't.
Well, but who has to deal with it?
It's you.
Exactly. Right? No matter why somebody did something.
Yeah.
Who is the person that has to deal with the result?
It's you. You're left with the result in the end. Yeah.
Right. And so I'm kind of aiming at the victim mentality here, which we see a lot is people, they get stuck in blaming other people for things and whatever. Mm-hmm. And my problem with that is it's not even that you're wrong because people do crappy things. People hurt people. They lie, they cheat, they steal. But for every ounce of energy that we spend focused on them externally, we're removing our agency to fix the problem for our life and to live better. And that's what our goal is. If somebody hurts us, what are you trying to get to, Armando? What are you trying to do after somebody hurts us?
You're trying to heal. You're trying to get better.
You're trying to get back to baseline. So if somebody hurts you one time, they do one thing and you obsess over it and it weighs on your mind and causes anxiety and stress, what are you now doing every moment?
You're continuing to regress. You've gone from that hurt moment and you're now going downhill from there.
Well, it's pulling you back to it. But what are you also doing by choice every moment? You're continuing
You're making a choice. Exactly.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. So if somebody hurts you once, you get upset 5 minutes. Great. You move on. Okay. But then every day you you're blaming, you're yelling, you're complaining, whatever. Every day you're reliving that thing. If you actually think about it logically, it makes no sense. Mm-hmm. Like somebody hurt me. I don't like that they hurt me, but I'm going to basically self-inflict hurt to myself every day because that's going to get them back.
Yeah.
Right. Like they're going to care so much. Right. Even though they never do. And you know, like it's just a delusion. Right. So, so far we've covered your mind is everything. We talked about that. Okay. We got this awesome quote from Marcus. When you have a thought, it's the same thing as a physical manifestation in real life. Right. So it's very important. Like if you have negative thoughts all day, you're going to get negativity in your life. We'll expand on that more. We covered, are you responsible for your thoughts regardless of what happens to you? Right. Like, we established that, yes, there's no way to irrefute that. Like, I don't think there's any way. Like, if somebody can feel free to correct me, but no matter what happens to you, you still have to control how you respond to it.
Absolutely.
Right? Like, the president can't wake up and, like, put like strap you in with the machine and, like, make your mind change.
Yeah.
Like nobody owes you anything or can do anything. Like, your parents can't, whatever, right? It's only it's always going to be you, okay? Okay, so this is a big one because, and this, is, again, very much goes to the a little bit of the victim mindset and just getting kind of stuck in blame. What I've noticed is that when we fall into that mode where we blame people and we get angry at external circumstances, we feel like we're justified and that we're being right. And maybe like from a moral equation perspective, we are right because they did this thing. It's not right. Maybe it's even illegal and they should go to jail or whatever. Okay. But like we talked about, is that getting me any closer to where I want to be? So I asked you, I said, where do you want to go after somebody hurts you?
Yeah. You want to go into yourself essentially.
Well, what was the answer you gave before?
Rephrase the question.
Somebody hurts you.
Correct.
Right. So they pull you into a negative place.
Right.
Before you're in a
good
place.
You want to heal. Yeah. What do you want to
do? You want to heal slash get back to where you were.
Exactly.
And then ideally with a growth mindset, you go beyond it. Right. But for now, people hurt us. Right. They do something happens. And this is not just people. This could be environment. This could be like not getting the job we want. Like there's a million things that can happen, right? Like the IRS decides to audit you, whatever.
Exactly.
We want to get to at least our baseline of not
baseline.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
So when you're spending time blaming and complaining and being kind of stuck in like the morality of it, you can be right all day long with that. And you can be like, when you complain, you're probably right. Like life's not fair and it's hard and whatever. Right. Yeah. But it's not getting you to where you want to be. The two places you want to be, you want to be back to baseline and then you want to be even better. And that's, I mean, better is really where we should all try to go, but we at least want to get back to the way it was before.
Exactly. Right?
And that's obvious. And we all get that, but most of us are not very good at kind of doing that on purpose, you know? Okay. So let's go to the next slide. So as we talked about, everything is opinion. Okay. So my very crude drawing here, okay? Your happiness, sadness, or averageness is an opinion, a judgment of your life, all right? So if everything is opinion, right? And we see here on this graphic, we have arrows pointing to your brain, and that is stimuli. Stimuli is kind of going at us at all times of the day, always, right? What happens is our brain interprets that stimuli, okay? And then it forms a label, and then that label, can you read my handwriting? Try to read my handwriting. What does that say? After you form a label, what are those labels we usually assign it?
So at the top, everything is opinion and form a label and then interprets stimuli.
So, form a label is below unless it's like backwards because it's weird.
Okay, yeah, downwards.
Yeah.
Good, safe, everything bad. And then I can't see the
I don't even know. I don't even know what that last line was. Everything in between. Oh, no, okay. No, no. It's good, safe, bad, unsafe.
Okay, yeah. Bad, unsafe,
and then everything
in between.
Right. Mm-hmm. So what your primal brain is doing is everything that comes in as a stimuli, your brain, its primary job is to keep you alive.
Right.
And a secondary job is to do what? Do you know?
Is to, you know, keep you alive. And I don't. Give me the second
Make one. Babies.
Oh, yeah. That too.
And in fact, the only reason it wants to keep you alive is because it wants you to make babies and propagate the species, right?
Right,
so the first thing that we analyze everything from is this safe? Meaning, is it like, or desirable? Like, is it food? Yes, good, safe, right? Or is it unsafe, right? Is it dangerous animal or cave, dark, right? Because threat to survival versus would be pro-survival, right? And that's kind of the basic framework, you know? And that's part of the reason why humans fall into like black versus white thinking so much. It's tribalistic and it's safer to say you're different, you're unsafe, you're alike, you're safe, right? That's kind of like a core summary of why that happens.
Yeah.
But what happens is you interpret the stimuli, your brain forms that label, you very quickly put something into a box because, again, quickly assessing things is a survival adaptation.
Absolutely. Right?
Like if you just, like you're afraid of every dark alley, well, if you go, if you avoid 1,000 dark alleys and someone else goes into 1,000 dark alleys, that person going into the 1,000 dark alleys is probably gonna get mugged a couple times. Right? Or maybe something worse, right? But the person that always avoids the dark alleys is never gonna get mugged. And that's a modern day example. It's the same thing for caves or going to watering holes where, you know, alligators hang out and the tribe says that's risky, et cetera. Okay.
Right.
So everything, you form a label, your brain does it quickly. It tries to get into a box and it tries to say, okay, I understand this thing. It's either safe or unsafe. And now I can act accordingly.
Yep.
Right. Now think about how that primal reptilian just thought process goes, and think about for the modern world and just how complex it is. Mm-hmm. And then think about why people get so crazy online. They're always trying to put something into a box. They always want to know, is this person on my team or against me? It's the same, it's the same mechanism, good, safe or bad, unsafe, right?
Yep.
Good for me and my identity, my ego, or bad for my identity, my ego.
Right. You know?
And so, you know, that's one of the problems of the internet that we have to overcome. It's going to be a big thing. So
yeah, people
mind is huge for this.
Absolutely. People, you know, especially to that point of the internet, it's like you get people who lash out because it may not even be, you know, like you said, evolutionarily, things we don't know are scary. It's like, I don't know what that is.
That's unsafe though. But why are things we don't know scary?
Because we've never come in contact with them.
And what could it be a threat to?
It could be a threat to our lives.
Exactly. Inevitably, that's why the unknown is scary. Because it is literally physically to the reptilian brain, it is a threat to your life.
Mm-hmm.
But look at the mismatch. Today, public speaking is not a threat to your life. Yet most people are afraid of it.
Your body has the same response.
Same response, right? And the way to overcome it is through first understanding, becoming self-aware, practice, training, etc. You know, like jumping out of a plane, I assume for everyone, even a Navy SEAL, your heart is probably pounding. But when you do it 100 times as a paratrooper, you probably like it. It's probably fun, right? It's the same thing, right? And so, again, our goal as a modern human is to be happy, fulfilled, you know, be the best health we can, make as much money as we want, to do whatever we want, right? That's my goal, is to help people do that. And the mind, we've established, is the root. I didn't realize it was going to go this long, so we're actually going to probably cut the lesson short. I'll go through a few more slides, then open up the Q&A. And then maybe if Brenda or anybody wants to chat, we could do that, or at least drop some questions, do a Q&A. And because we're already at 2:46, man, time flies. Let's just do two examples here. So we covered a few very big principles here, which is great. Now let's look at some examples in real life. If we're trying to establish that everything is an opinion, right? Let's look at some examples of that. Okay. Are you happy or unhappy with your finances? So actually, Armando, tell me, what's your opinion of your finances right now?
They're not great.
They're not great?
Were
they
great.
Better before?
They definitely were better before, but it was with a trade-off.
What do you mean? What was the trade-off?
The trade-off was not being able to have free time.
Oh, I see. So because you worked hard, you had no free time. Right. So, I mean, in a way, your finances might be better if time matters to you more. And like we said, time is the most important thing, right?
Absolutely.
But either way, though, you said they're not great. Is that because you think they should be better, or they should be some level that it's not at?
Well, now it's because the level that I want them to be in my head and in my mind.
Yep.
From my perspective, I don't like where they are.
Well, look what line 2 says. Can you read that for me?
Yeah, that's because you're better off than before, or worse off than you think you should be.
Well, and read the whole thing. It's actually line 3.
Okay. Thus, you are happy or unhappy based on the comparison to an ideal in your head.
And meaning,
textbook.
If you were on the street a month ago with no money, you'd be balling right now.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all perspective.
It's true. It is. It really is.
Again, these ideas, these concepts, this way of thinking can serve you in everything. Let's look at two more examples. Yeah. Okay, here's a good one. Okay, are you happy or unhappy with your partner? All right, you don't need to answer because you're in the same room. I'm not going to ask you. But I want you to think about this, right?
With my partner.
But I want you to think about this, because even if you are in a happy relationship, there's things that you probably, there's like check boxes that you're not happy with right now, because maybe you perceived that it was different before, or maybe that didn't really uncover until you moved in and that was the thing you had to reconcile or whatever. Either way, it's always a comparison, an ideal, and some kind of internal dialogue in your mind, to which if you wanted to be 100% grateful for your partner, you could be. They could be perfect for you, even if they were, they are imperfect creatures.
Yep.
Okay. So again, everything's an opinion. What we obsess about, we become. If we're going to obsess about negativity and things that aren't perfect, whatever, well, we're going to get more of that in our life. And we're always going to find a reason why that's true. All right. Absolutely. Let's just do one more. So let's see. Work. Okay. Unhappy with your work. So this is actually an exercise I recommend everybody do, because I've noticed years having employees that a lot of people, you know, until they lose their job or they get a different job, they don't realize how great their job was or their profession was, right? Like you see that all the time, like go from a nightmare boss to somebody that's like kind of petty, but okay. And you'll be like, he's amazing. But then go to that same person, you know, later on to somebody that's even worse. If you complain about him for 2 years or whatever, like I've seen this a lot. So I recommend people list out the benefits of their work. Think back to crappy jobs. Like I used to work at a restaurant. I worked at a movie theater. Like I've done a lot of, I did construction in the Florida heat for a summer. Yeah, I remember all that. And a lot of times what people need is just a perspective shift. And a lot of taking control of your mind, what we do in the Better Human School and the Better Human Mind program, is to take control of your perspective, choose how you want to respond to life, and really also at the same time, move to abundance and gratitude, right? Absolutely. Like I said, like if you're on the street and single and homeless a week ago, you would be bawling in your life right now. But because you become adapted to your life, you become hedonically adapted, in 6 months, you're going to have all these reasons why your life should be this way, should be that way. It's not great, whatever, right? And so that's that way of thinking and that awareness is just massive. So yeah. And like Sherry said, it depends on what gives you joy, what gives you joy, and identifying that, spending time on that. And also though, the flip side of that is not spending time on things that actively remove joy, which humans with our negativity bias, we fall into, right? Because negativity bias kept us alive, kept our ancestors alive. Because why? Because it kept us away from things that might be unsafe. So today though, like negativity, you know, you can find it everywhere, but you can also find positivity everywhere. You can find something to be grateful for always.
You know? you're to what you said before, where exactly don't add negativity so that you can keep your baseline.
You're pushing yourself out of a baseline, which for most people are like, most people are not just Debbie Downers miserable all day long, right? We go through bouts of things. Some people, they can be depressed at times and they can return to like a baseline. And sometimes they things can be really great. But the common theme amongst it all is the human brain, right? And everybody has different struggles. Everyone has different obstacles. But I can tell you this right now. We all have our own struggles and obstacles. There's still an obstacle and a struggle.
Everyone.
Like there's billionaires that are miserable and overweight and dying. Like, and everyone thinks that because they have $1 billion, like their life is great, but I wouldn't trade my life for theirs. And not happening.
Yeah.
If they would say, oh, well, you could trade places with Warren Buffett. Would you trade places with Warren Buffett, Armando?
No way.
Why?
Absolutely not. First and foremost, I have this self-awareness to know I wouldn't want his life. I wouldn't want anything he has.
Warren Buffett lives his passion.
Absolutely.
Okay. And he's made a lot of money doing it.
Absolutely.
So why wouldn't you trade places with him?
Because it's his life and his passion.
Oh, well, okay. That's not the answer I'm looking for. He's 85. That's why you wouldn't trade places with him. because if I could be Warren Buffett at my age now with billions and living my passion, I would do it in a second.
Absolutely.
But I would not do it at his age, right? Because time is the most valuable thing, the most precious thing. And there is a lot to be said for building your success in life. In fact, Melissa Pierce talks about this in her book. Mm-hmm. A lot of her well-off clients have children that they hand them the family business and then they blow it up because the kids end up resenting the parents.
Correct.
Why do you think that is? Why would kids basically be given a golden ticket and they still have to do some work? They got to kind of run the business, right? So it's not like they're just handed a check. Would the children be resentful of that? Why do you think that is?
Well, that's exactly to the point I was making about Warren Buffett. It's like, you want to have choice. I don't want to fall into Warren Buffett's life because I don't want to be a financial, you know, a trader. I don't want to trade stocks. I don't want to, you know, the finances as a career doesn't excite me. And, you know, you have a lot of,
it excites him, but it doesn't excite you. But the theme is that you each want to do something that excites you.
Exactly.
But why would the children be resentful that they were handed their parents' business and basically probably set for life? Why would they feel resentful and a lot of times run the business into the ground?
Because they didn't get to choose.
What do you mean by choice? Because it's not their thing?
Exactly.
And they didn't struggle to acquire it. That's the real thing, right? Because if we look at the duality of life, yin and yang, black and white, the polar opposites, north, south, okay? Mm-hmm. Each thing is defined by the other. And I've thought about this for years because I'm self-made. And I've always thought, like, if I won the lottery, like, I wouldn't want to win the lottery. In fact, they've done research with lottery winners. Usually lottery winners are broke a few years after they win the lottery, right? But that's, you know, whatever, talk for another day. The reason the children resent the parents is because they didn't earn it themselves, which to appreciate abundance, it has to be earned. If it's not earned, it's just a thing. It's like a, it's just like a one of 10 fancy cars you have. Like, you don't even care anymore, right? But when you earn it, it's completely different. Right. It's almost like if you could say, okay, I'm going to, oh, that's a bad analogy. I was gonna say something about kids, like adopting an 18-year-old, adopting an adult child probably wouldn't be as fulfilling as like raising kids on your own, you know, not like there's anything wrong with adopting an adult child. Right. If that's a thing.
Yeah. You know, but you're right. Or even like adopting a young child and being able to, you know, show that they're two different things.
Yeah. It's through the effort. It's through the struggle.
Absolutely.
That we get value, purpose, satisfaction, and entrepreneurship, business, it's all the same stuff.
Yeah.
Right?
And I just want to throw in a small example, and we're talking like global superstar. I was listening to a podcast and Jamie Foxx is on the podcast, huge superstar, Oscar winner, Grammy winner.
Yep.
I mean, there's nothing these guys have done, right? He remembered, he told a story about when the first time he met Chris Brown. Chris Brown was 16 in.
Wasn't it Kanye?
No, it's Chris Brown.
Well, there's another story where he talked about meeting Kanye, and Kanye's just like hanging out in the corner, and he was like a nobody
at a party. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was another good one. That was another good one, and
that was a Tim Ferriss episode. That was a very good podcast episode.
Yeah, that's a great one too, because that's another story about someone who's self-made, who believed in themselves, who made the choices every day, who stayed focused, and absolutely. His you know, Kanye's story, aside from all the social aspects, his come up. Crazy, but Jamie Foxx meeting Chris Brown, he said he remembers meeting Chris Brown when he was 16. Now, if everyone remembers, you know, I'm very young. So Chris Brown, when, you know, he was 16, that is like the beginning of stardom. He is a superstar. And he remembers meeting Chris Brown when Jamie Foxx was around 30 or so. And he remembers seeing him and almost feeling bad for him in a way because how he saw him living life, he was like this. He is a child, and he's experiencing everything now.
Yeah.
And you know, his parents, you know, Chris Brown's parents molded him to be what he is. You know, people have these, you know, we in high school and what have you have kids that you remember, those kids in sports that their parents took them to every single camp and every single.
Right. It becomes more of a figurehead than like an self-made politician, you know, like
exactly.
Maybe Queen doesn't feel like, you know, versus a prime minister that had to start from the ground up or whatever.
100%.
Right. So
and Jamie Foxx,
it's just not self-made.
100%. When he was like, I remember having nothing in my early 20s and then coming up, and he's like, I would never trade how I got to where I am for the world, because I appreciate it more and I know I'll keep it. And and every day I'm so grateful, you know, and it's, you know, it's something that I've taken in my own life. It's something you've taken in your life, that I want everything that comes to me to be earned so that I'll appreciate the abundance more.
Yep. 100%. So we are literally almost at 3 minutes.
Oh, I think you might have muted yourself. I'm having trouble hearing you. Can you hear me okay?
Hold on.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're back.
There you go. I got to get a better cable here. Okay. So we only got a few minutes left. I mean, I literally have another show at 3, but this will be every week we're going to do this, and we'll be similar format. We'll get it tighter because like we went over a little bit and Armando likes to talk. So him and I are going to coach and we're going to get it down to a good format where we can do one big idea for about 10, 15 minutes. We can do like a quick intro and everyone can share. We can do a Q&A at the end. Does anybody want to just go unmute real quick and just ask a question, share something? If anybody wants to do that, just drop it in chat and I'll give you the mic and you can say something. I'll just give it a minute just to make sure. Or you can also ask a question in chat, or if there's anything you want to cover real quick. But if not, Either way, I appreciate everyone being here, and I'm looking Absolutely. Forward to when this gets even bigger and bigger and bigger. And also, if anybody ever wants to kind of come on as a co-host or like a third host, thank you. Thank you, Brenda. Appreciate that.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks.
We'll be covering something every week on the mind, how to think, how to live. You know, we'll be doing other things like habits, productivity. We talk about focus a little bit, and it's just going to be fun. Keep going, get into it. So if you want to learn more though, because the show is obviously sponsored by the Better Human School, which just launched, it's over at betterhuman.school. You can learn more. There's a video there of me. There's Q&A. If you ever have any questions for me individually, you can send me an email. I'll drop my email here. Sandy from France. That's amazing.
Oh,
that's
so nice.
Cool. That's so cool. So I'm going to drop my email here. And if anybody ever wants to hop in there, we have an 8-week program that's more of a group coaching like this with more interactive. And we also have a self-serve, self-paced option. And it's going to basically help you think better, build a first principles mindset so that you can just do everything you want in life, right? The hard part for me about the Better Human is clarifying what it can do. Because like, if I say I can help you become a better thinker, you might be like, oh, I mean, cool. But like, what is that going to translate to? But like, it can translate to everything. You know, less afraid of taking risks, putting yourself out there, right? Developing a forever learning mindset, being a scientist, testing things. I mean, it's just unbelievable what you can do when you really take ownership of the mind. And so the books we recommended today were something I just read, Melissa Peer's I Am Enough, I think it is. Amazing. I really recommend everyone should read that. We might even just do the next show on that book specifically. If Mondo, if anybody wants to follow you, where can they do that?
You can follow me at Armando Rivera Comedy on Instagram. I'm also on LinkedIn if you want to connect at Armando Rivera. That's pretty much it right now.
So thank you everyone for being here. Mm-hmm. And I dropped Armando's name in there. And yeah, we're going to have the, I'll probably put the, I got to figure out how to do the video just yet. I haven't done the Zoom video YouTube thing, but it's at least going to be a podcast on the Better Human podcast feed. And every week we're going to go. And if you ever want to submit something for us to talk about and you can't make it, there's a link to wherever I posted this email. And we got people coming in right at the last minute, but that's awesome. I know we are in different time zones, so I'm ready to learn more. Maybe I can K-U-M-B-I-R-A. That's a very cool name. I'm not going to try to pronounce it because I'm not good at that. So I appreciate everyone here. The recording will be on the podcast. So if you type in Better Human on any podcast app, you're going to find it. And if you're on my email list or you're not, you can go to Colin.coach to get that. And we'll send out the updates and everything. And I really appreciate everyone coming on. And really feel free, please reach out to me anytime, anything, questions, comments, sharing stories, whatever. Because for me, this is all fodder to talk about and to do what I've committed my life to now doing is focus on helping people think better and live better by taking control of their mind. You can learn more about that over at betterhuman.school. And really, to close, every day, if you do one small thing that's a little bit better or a little bit on purpose, you know, a year, you've done 355 whatever things. Like, who knows who you'll become or what you'll do, right? It's incredible.
Absolutely.
So everyone, really appreciate it. I would stay on, but I have another show booked and I don't want to keep her waiting. I appreciate everyone. Thanks, Brenda, Brent, Kumbrari. I hope I said that right. Really sorry if I didn't. Sandy, let's see who else we got. We got Sherry and Spence. Thank you, everybody.
Yeah. Thank you, guys.
Hey, fellow human, Colin here. If you've been following me for any time now, you know that I've gone through a little bit of a transformation. I've been spending most of my time early on focused on helping people get better in their health, make better food decisions, lifestyle decisions, get outside, take walks, all that stuff. And that's led me to where I am today, where I've committed the second part of my life to help build better humans. Now, the first iteration of how I'm going to do that is a Better Human School, which I've been thinking about and really collectively putting the ideas together for the last 15 years of my life, basically my entire adult life, the things that I've learned, the big ideas that have served me time and time again, the things I've learned from loss, from struggle, from being sued, from just every possible thing that you can imagine happening and coming out a better, more resilient person. And I want to pass that along to other people to save them time, money, and a lot of suffering. That's going to make the world a better place. And each person that can get to that place and make better decisions and become the best version of themselves, the more they're going to lead by example. And we're going to have a ripple effect to other people and eventually, hopefully, to the masses. Because right now it's estimated that about 10% of Americans are considered metabolically healthy. 10%. And the reason I stopped spending so much time trying to get people to eat healthy and walk and get outside and do things that they know they need to do is because, again, most people know they need to do it, but they aren't doing it. Why is that? What are the limiting beliefs, the thought patterns, and the environmental factors that are keeping them from mastering their thoughts and thus mastering their life, their health, etc.? So if I can help people figure out how to master their life, how to take control of their thoughts, how to unlearn the really bad thought patterns that have been implanted in their minds through society and friends and family and their upbringing, then I can actually help people live better lives, become happier, and then they'll get the health part because they'll see the connection between better health, better living, and they will take it upon themselves to do it. They will get it done. And that's the power of controlling your thoughts, your emotions, and taking control of the moment and how you think, and not just letting it run rampant or just responding to everything around you and just being a pinball in the game of life. So if you want to learn more about this, we have a pre-launch special. The first 250 students are going to get lifetime access to everything. I have big plans. You can watch the video there to learn about that and all the different things that we're going to do. But the core curriculum, you're going to get lifetime access to, as well as the Zoom calls every week, the Q&A, the membership back end, and all the bonus stuff that I'm going to be adding on a regular ongoing basis as I bring experts in and we cover different topics from finances to living to health, just everything that is going to be in addition to the core curriculum. The core curriculum, though, is the foundations, the biggest first principles that you need on a daily basis. That's what you want to build your life around. Then you have the How to Think section, the How to Think 101, which are going to give you the biggest ideas of humanity that we've uncovered from philosophy and psychology. Then you're going to have the How to Live section, which are big ideas, again, from philosophy and the best books ever written and how to be successful as a modern human, a little bit of the current with the old combined together to make you a better human by giving you the ability and the tools to change the way you think to get the outcomes you want. Anything that you want in your life is going to come through your brain, your thoughts. If you take control of that, you can get there. If you don't take control of that, well, it's just pure randomness as to whether you're going to build the life that you truly appreciate and that you truly want. If you don't know where you're going, you might end up somewhere else, as Yogi Berra said. I want to help you figure out where you want to go and then give you the tools that'll get you there. So if you want to learn more or get started today, which I highly recommend you do, head over to betterhuman.school. That's betterhuman.school. And you can learn more. And if you have any questions or comments, you can always reply to this email or drop a comment or DM. You can find me. It's the internet. That's the world we live in now. And I'll be happy to chat with you, maybe even hop on a call if you're so inclined. And wherever you're at in life, wherever you're paying attention, I appreciate you following along. I hope you'll take some action with something that you learn through this program or through the 99% of the free content that I put out on a regular basis that I will continue to put out. And as always, I'll see you in the next one.
Please always remember that the members of the podcast are not, in fact, medical professionals. They're not doctors. They're not nutritionists. They are simply providing this entertainment for you to do your own research and to entertain yourselves. So please consult a physician before changing your diet. Not everything works for everybody. And make sure you always do your own research on everything you hear on this show and outside.